What's up, Raza? This is Fernando Amador, and this is my podcast, ChicanoCast. Yeah, I'm on a roll, right? Two freaking shows in a row. Wow, ChicanoCast, way to go, mamon. Órale. All the way from Downey, California, Raza, bring you today's show number 34 on Chicano is a verb again. But what exactly do I mean by that? Give me a minute, Raza. Let me figure it out. Nah. Well, let me start by defining verb for those of you like me who were pendejos when it came to English class. A verb is a word used to describe an action, state, or occurrence. And what do I mean by again in the title of the show, Chicano is a verb again? I guess it's due to what I was preaching in my previous shows, that anyone born or raised like we were as Chicanos, of Mexican parents living, growing up in the U.S., born and growing up in the U.S., that no matter what you do or don't do, it's a culture. So if you go out and make posters and protest and get arrested, you know, for Chicano rights or fighting for Chicano rights, it's the same as if you kick back in your parents' basement smoking weed, playing, what's that game y'all kids play, the one you're addicted to? Fortnite, esa madre. Well, either way, you're a Chicano. That's what I was saying in my previous show, because I truly believe Chicano is a culture. It's our culture. And only those born of Mexican parents in the USA and raised in the USA understand this dual ethnicity that we have, our dual languages and our dual culture. And the reason I believe it's a culture is due to the fact that the countries border each other and there are so many immigrants, and therefore there are so many of us in this hyphen that is located between Mexican and American. So if you believe that, no matter what you do or don't do, you're a Chicano. Then why am I calling this show Chicano as a verb again? What do I mean by that? I mean that these are difficult times for us Latinos, that these are difficult times for us Chicanos, that society, or better yet, the USA, has taken two or three steps back on race relations. And guess who's a scapegoat is this time? Raza, it's the Latino immigrants. Maybe not just this time, but I guess several times, right? And it's not just Trump, but to a bunch of followers and undercover racists, we are guilty of all of America's troubles. And politicians love that, because as immigrants get blamed for society's burdens, then these fucking politicos make themselves more rich and more powerful and don't have to take responsibility for fucking up the country. And some of you Chicano listeners may say, Hey, pinche Chicano cast, what do I care about how and what Trump does to these Central America immigrants? I'm a U.S. citizen. I was born and raised in the good old U.S. of A. The troubles immigrants are facing don't have anything to do with me. Pues, ¿sabes qué, pendejo? It does. And it does in a way that is so much more direct than you realize. Not only because we all have family that either are or were immigrants, but because we all have that fucking big ass nopal on our forehead, no matter how you speak or how you dress. And if you think you can pass as a güero, maybe because you're lighter, well, then you have your last name, and that will always tell them who you are. So what I'm saying is we need to take care, because the gringos see us all the same. They judge us all the same. And now more than ever, it's on us to work harder. It's on us to prove ourselves over and over in order to just be given a chance. And this is getting to what I mean about Chicano being a verb again. These days, we don't have the luxury of sitting back, smoking a joint, and playing Fortnite. We need to take action as Chicanos to fight back the oppression, to fight back the unfair treatment of our people. What action you take is on you, Raza. I'm not going to tell you, go do this, go listen to this fucking show, listen to my show, pendejos. But for some of you, it may be as simple as getting educated so someday, you can be in a position to help out Raza. And also because it sets a good example for your little sisters, your little brothers, as well as your community. For other fuckers who can't keep their mouth shut, it may be recording a podcast for Chicanos. Órale. Others may get out and protest and lead the efforts. Whatever it is you do as a Chicano, it needs to be a verb. It needs to be action. If we do nothing because this bad situation is only on immigrants, then guess what? We might be next. In fact, we are already next. Look how there's so much discrimination going on all over the U.S. against Raza. Yeah, those of us that are capable, we have the responsibility to do something to take action, to let them know we won't take discrimination as normal life in America, not in our America. So, Raza, what do I believe now of the meaning of Chicano? Well, classically, it means to be Chicano is to be part of the Chicano movement. And yeah, I believe we now have to be part of a movement because we are seemingly back to the 50s where we had to fight to get a seat at the table or even to be let in the door. Like I said, we have taken several steps back under this pinche viejo Trump as far as Chicano progress. That's why we need to be a verb. But let me tell you, Raza, I still believe that Chicano is a noun, that if you are a Mexican-American, then you are a Chicano no matter what you do or don't do. We Chicanos have a dual culture, Mexico and the USA, and we can live in either one. And amongst other Chicanos, we can live in that hyphen, that little line between Mexican-American. Yeah, the dash, pendejos, that's the hyphen. That's where Chicanos are. That's where we come together with our Spanglish, our Chicano culture, our love of tacos and burgers, our respect for our heritage, and all at the same time, our pride of being Americans. Okay, Raza, changing subjects on you. I was watching a documentary the other day on HBO called Our Nation Under Stress, when it was mentioned that due to stress, Americans are now living less than the other developed nations, and even less of a lifetime for people of color and of less means and education. However, they mention an exception. Pinche U-turn on subjects, right, Raza? But stay with me. Yeah, there's an exception, and it's called the Hispanic paradox or the Latino paradox. And it refers to Latinos living as long or longer than whites, even though those whites have higher incomes and higher educations. And the real reason is not truly known, but one theory of why this paradox exists is because of lower stress levels among Raza. And this lower stress coming from our family bond and our social life within friends, family, and community. Raza, I need a break. I'm drinking Belching Beaver Phantom Bride. Let me take a quick drink. Hope they're paying for this show, the bastards. So yeah, Raza, we can have a tough-ass work week and a dick-wetto boss, but we know that on the weekends, and when that weekend does come, we will not be isolated and stressed about the work week, but we will get together with friends and family, and we will feel protected and share stories and hugs and kisses and music and dance. All that definitely reduces our stress levels. So Raza, if that theory is true, then keep having those loud-ass carne asadas on Sundays, even if the neighbors hate you for hosting them. So when the neighbor comes asking you to turn it down, tell them, Raza, this is for my life, eh? This is to add some years to this vato. All along holding your corona in one hand and a taco in the other hand. Órale. Anyway, Raza, there are other theories that don't give us, you know, as much credit for living longer. But I like to think that what this documentary said about community being one of the reasons that we live longer and having family, friends, and culture to look forward to, I like to believe that that's one of the main reasons that we are able to live longer, you know, knowing that people have our backs. Okay, Raza, one more drink. This stuff is pretty damn good. Okay, another quick U-turn, Raza. I was just reading the shit that is going on at immigrant camps, and I can't help but to feel pissed that this is happening, but also embarrassed that my country is doing this to people, to children, and to babies. Not just the separations, which, as I said before, is evil and Hitler-like, but the living conditions they are experiencing is inhumane. This is the richest country in the fucking world. We give billions away to bullshit projects in the USA and all over the world. And of course, we know that this is not a money situation. It's a racist fucking strategy to discourage any more immigrants from coming here and to scare those that are here away. But what about those kids, Raza, who are experiencing these awful conditions, the separation and the unjust treatment? Raza, are we possibly making future terrorists? You know, I don't want to believe that, but because these kids are definitely, you know, going to be affected, and in what ways, we really don't know. This is where we need to speak up, Raza, As far as myself, I cannot accept that we are treating humans in this manner. I hate and it hurts to see the reports on TV about the cruel treatment at immigrant camps. But you know what, Raza? If my weak ass can't look at these reports, if it hurts me to see this, then imagine them who have to live it, how it is a million times worse for them. I can't help but to have a sense of guilt. I'm not sure why, but I have it, Raza. Let me tell you what I read of the conditions. This article, I forget where exactly it was. I'm not giving credit here, but it's a bunch of different reports and articles. But just a few to get you on the Chicano is a verb thinking. One of them is lights on 24 hours a day. This, Raza, will drive you crazy and throw off your sleep patterns. Another one, number two, is no adequate access to medical care or basic sanitation, water, or adequate food. You know what? We're asking for an epidemic, and it's a form of torture. Three, mothers not being able to clean their children's bottles. Inhumane, Raza. Inhumane in many ways. Number four, children had to sleep on the floor as punishment for losing a comb. That is straight out torture. Straight out torture. Physical and definitely mental. Five, children are being required to care for other very young children. Damn, Raza, this is child abuse and child endangerment. This is insane. Six, extreme temperatures in living areas. Again, torture. Don't forget, they're out in freaking El Paso and Texas and areas where it gets damn hot, and it is summer now. And it goes on, Raza. There's a lot more abuses than the ones I listed. And don't forget the trauma on the children due to the separations, believing their mothers have abandoned them. Honestly, I never thought we, America, was capable of this. I must be naive, or should I say pendejo, to never have thought we could do this. We basically have done it to ourselves all along history, so why wouldn't we do it to immigrants? Okay, Raza, I hate to leave you on such a sad note. No cabrones, ¿saben qué? Actually, I want to leave you with this terrible information so that maybe we begin to realize what is going on and begin to take action. Start by getting informed. Read the articles, not just this bullshit podcast. Go find out for yourselves and fact check my ass. I said fact check, F-A-C-T, not fat check. Don't fat check me. Don't fucking find me online and fucking fat guilt me. Órale. Do me a favor, Raza. Let me know you want me to keep doing this gig. Send me a quick email at chicanocast@gmail.com. And those of you that don't really use email, send me something on Twitter at chicanocast. All right, Raza, stay brown and proud. Very proud.
So you want emails and tweets, do you? Not feeling the love? Are you, pinche ChicanoCast? Where's our love? Where's our year's worth of shows, homeboy?
I'm on it, ya sabes. Amigos, I'm here for you. I never left you. Reruns are fun.
Reruns are fun, my huevos, cabrón. You sound like a pinche politician. Amigos, my ass. You better make up for it. Keep working, perro.
Okay. Send those tweets and emails, Raza. They are love. My Hispanic paradox homies, help me get a few extra years of life.
Jesús, hermanos míos, es verbo, no sustantivo. Jesús es más que un grupo de señoras de muy negra conciencia que pretenden ganarse el cielo con club de beneficencia. Si quieres tú ser miembro activa, tendrás que presentar a la directiva tu cuenta de ahorros en Suiza y vínculos oficiales. Jesús es más que persignarse, hincarse y hacer de esto alarde. Él sabe que quizá por dentro la conciencia les arde. Jesús es más que una flor en el alma.